Lord, Acts chapter 27, and my preacher voice found me again today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. My voice was disappearing this morning, and if you're not a preacher, you may not understand. You have a voice that strips out and comes back, and here it is. So hopefully it'll stay with me, and if it leaves me, we'll just pray. Amen. Acts chapter 27, we will continue our message from this morning, the latter half of it. We preached the first half of Acts chapter 27, and tonight we're going to try to preach the second half of it. And if you would remember, this morning I preached on when the captive becomes the captain. When the captive becomes the captain. And we're going to continue this thought. But Acts chapter 27 and verse 21. Amen. If you're there, give me a good amen. It says in verse 21, but after long abstinence, and I found out this morning, I hit some of these words and I ruin them. So y'all just be lenient with me. So, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am, and who I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. And I could continue to read on down to verse 44, but I'm going to save you that. You know this story, and I would encourage you to read this chapter alone, but let me just give you a quick review. I know some were not here this morning. We had some different classes going on. But this morning we preached on Acts chapter 27. And we talked about how in Acts chapter 27, Paul is a prisoner. And we talked about how the centurion leader here by the name of Julius, how he led this crew in the ship here of 276 people. He led them into a storm. And he did this. I talked about 4 points this morning. The reasons they ended up in the storm this morning that I talked about was, number one, they refused to learn from the past. Number two, they refused to heed godly advice from Paul. And also, he desired to be in a more comfortable place. And number four, he was deceived by that soft wind that ended up turning into a rough wind. I also talked about this morning how storms are something all of us face and go through in life. And how, if you read ancient literature, even though that Luke, when he wrote this, did not mean this allegorically, we do understand that when you read through the book of Psalms and when you read through the Bible and you read some of the ancient narratives, you would understand that the Jews viewed life as a sea, as a voyage, as a journey, as you're ending up in one destination. And we say different things like when somebody passes on, we say they are on the other shore, that celestial shore. So we know what I'm talking about tonight, that us as believers, in the book of Psalms, I was thinking today, how the book of Psalms, David says things like this, that some people are going up and down, tossed to and fro, mentioning the idea of life, how some people are tossed back and forth on the seas of life and on the different things of life. So we talked about that this morning, and we also established the principle of this, that if you're saved or if you're unsaved, you can still have storms in your life. But the difference is this, who's the captain of your ship? Amen. Do you remember facing storms as a sinner? Have you ever said, I'm sure you said this before, but when somebody goes through a tragedy or goes through a loss or is going through something, have you ever looked at them and said, I don't know what they're going to do without the Lord? You ever thought that before? Because they did not have the captain of the ship. They did not have Jesus leading and guiding their lives. So we did talk about today, and we used Jonah as a quick reference, how Jonah was outside of the will of God and was in a storm. But in Acts chapter 27, here it is, Paul is in the will of God and he's in a storm. So you can understand, in the will of God or outside of the will of God, we all will face storms. Now, we're going to preach this tonight with the Lord's help. We're going to try to go further into this, but I want you to keep in mind, and we're going to pick up where we left off this morning. If you will remember this morning, we left off the ship with 276 souls. We're in a tempestuous storm. I got the word right there. Amen. Tempestuous, and I got it sounded out up here like hooked on phonics. So I got it up here, so I'd say it just right for y'all. Amen. And I love joking around about that because I know North Carolina didn't teach you Greek and Hebrew either. Amen. Or English maybe. But understand, they were in this tempestuous storm. The crew was desperate. They had now began to throw cargo and furnishings overboard, and the sky was no longer visible. They would use the stars as a compass, so to speak. They would look at the moon, the sun, the stars. It would help them understand which direction they were going. But the Bible says they could not even view the heavens. The heavens were even clouded up where they could not even view none of those things. Now, I want you to keep in mind also here, there was a man that was on the ship that was still in shackles, that was still in chains by the name of Paul. Maybe he was down in the belly of the ship. We don't really know that. But keep in mind, Paul told them this was going to happen. Here it is. Paul told them, Paul warned them that, look, if you set sail from here, he said, I perceive that something bad is going to happen. Here it is. You would remember that Paul is a captive. Paul is a prisoner. Paul is somebody that is in chains and he is in shackles. He is somebody that has no status. He is somebody that has no say-so. And as far as it is on the ship here, on the ship you've got the captain of the ship. You've got the sailors of the ship. You've got the Roman centurion. You've got the guards. All of these men are more important seemingly from the natural eye, more important than Paul. But hear me today, friend. There comes a shift in the story where Paul is no longer the captive, but Paul becomes the captain. Paul no longer is the man that's sitting there in chains and shackles, but we're going to pick up in the story where here it is, Paul stands up. We don't know if they went down there and asked for Paul, being that he warned them before. We don't know exactly how it all plays out. There's different ideas here, but understand this. Paul was somebody that was a captive, and we pick up in Acts chapter 27 and verse 21 where it says this, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. So if you don't mind me saying here, Paul kind of takes a moment and said something like this, I told you so. I told you this was going to happen. I warned you. I cautioned you. I gave you good godly advice. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I know a little bit what I'm talking about here. Not only that, but I know God. I know what God desires. Here it is. Paul stands up. He begins to tell these men, you were wrong. You should have listened to me. Now I want you to get this great shift here. No longer is Paul just sitting there in chains, but now Paul has the ear of the ship. He has the ear of the centurion, and he has the ear of those that are on that boat because he said this. He said pretty much almost prophetically, he said, I told you this was going to happen. Now I want to point out a few things here that I find are very important. Now that we know that there's a shift here, Paul is now no longer the captive, but Paul is now the captain of the ship, so to say. I want you to show you this, that here we begin to see some unique qualities about leadership. How many knows leadership is important? Leadership is more than just for a pastor. Leadership is for every believer that is in this room. God has called you to lead in some magnitude and somebody in the kingdom that God has given you. If it be at your job, if it be your family, God has called all of us to leadership. And we would also understand today that we can look around and we can tell that many people are going through storms. There are people in America today that are going through depression. There are people in America today that are going through financial situations. There are people in America today that are wrestling with man-created desires, lust, and sins. People are going through all sorts of storms, and what they really need in their life, they need some good, godly leadership. Amen. That's why the church is here. The church is here collectively and individually. All of us are leaders, but even collectively, us as a church, we are to be leaders to this community. We ought to stand out in this community. They ought to know that they can walk through the doors. They can talk to an elder sister, brothers, even younger, if God's using you, and you can understand, you can give them good, godly leadership and good, godly advice. But let me point out a few things here about the qualities of leadership that is shown to us here. And this is another message for another time. But let's just blaze over these. The very first thing about leadership I find in the life of Paul here is this. Number one, Paul is trustworthy. Think about this. How is it that Paul is now standing up and he's giving advice, he's pretty much giving orders, and not only that, but there's enough boldness in the voice of Paul that he's looking at a Roman centurion who's in charge of a bunch of mighty different men, and he's pretty much saying, I told you so. I told you this was going to happen. Not only that, but you'll find that Paul begins to take liberty on the ship and begins to direct these people. But I want to tell you first and foremost, my friend, they would not listen to anything that Paul said unless Paul first showed forth trustworthiness. There was something about Paul that stood out. There was something about the way that he conducted himself. There was something about the way that Luke and his partner followed him. There was something about Paul that stood out. He was a man that was trustworthy. Let me tell you this today, my friend. Don't expect anybody in this world to listen to you today if you are not trustworthy. Amen. I was instilled in my old church. You know, trustworthiness was a big thing. You have a church working, and you know, unless there's a situation, you know, of course, you're working something, job. My old pastor was tough on us young preachers, I'm telling you. I mean, he was just, you know, you didn't show up, you didn't preach. It's just the way he was. And then even he was the kind of person, if you did preach and you told him no, you didn't preach for a long time. He'd call you sometimes and say, I'm sick this morning, 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. So preach 2 or 3 hours. You know, you're sitting there. So I remember a few times I said, brother, he said, brother, you know, if you don't tell me no, please. I'm asking you, you don't preach but twice a month. Have a message at least. Amen. Pastor love, tough love. I'll tell you, Brother Urban is to me has a unique way of raising up young ministers. He's had about 8 come through the church. He just has a unique way of getting young people's attention and putting inside of them stability. He's just a great man at doing that. And hear me today, but you have to be trustworthy. I hear me today, my friend. Us as a family, us as a church family, we ought to be able to look at each other and say, I know that I can trust Brother Tommy. I know that I can trust Sister Shed. I know I can trust Brother Baker. I know I can trust. We have to make sure we know that we are trustworthy to each other. Because look, my friend, if I'm going through a storm, or if you're going through a storm, we're not going to look for anybody that's not trustworthy. We're going to find somebody that we can trust, and we can trust their advice. The second thing that Paul did, I find unique in this, is he took initiative. Amen. You know what initiative is? It's kind of like not only being able to label the problem, but having a solution for the problem. Boy, you can become a professional at labeling things. Well, you ought not to. Well, you shouldn't. Well, some people are experts at labeling, but they have no wisdom at dealing. There's a difference. It's one thing. It's easy to look at a drunk and say, he's a drunk. But it's another thing to look at a drunk and say, look, now I know that you're a drunk, I know that you're an alcoholic, I know that you're addicted to this, but I have a solution. I have an initiative. I have something that can help you. Hear me today, my friend. Paul was not the type man that just looked at a problem and said, look, I can point out the problem and that's it. Paul was the type guy that could point out the problem, but he could also point out to you the solution. There's a solution to deal with that problem. We've got to understand this. It's not enough in just labeling problems in this world or problems in politics, but do you have a solution that can help solve that problem? My Lord, help us. That sometimes will make you do this more. Amen. I learned, and I'm still learning. I know that. We all are still learning together. I learned before, it was easy to label things when I first became a preacher. Amen. I can name a million things. I can label problem, problem, problem. But when it comes to giving the solution and actually inserting myself in that and actually being the leader in that and after actually leading somebody to deliverance and actually leading, it'll cause you to pray more. It'll cause you to be more ready. It'll cause you to be more patient. We've got to do more than just be trustworthy. But also, you've got to have initiative. You've got to have legs with your prayers. You've got to have legs with your ability to be able to find problems. You've got to make sure not only do you have the ability to identify problems, but also that you have the ability to provide the solution for that person. The third quality about Paul's leadership is this. He used good judgment. Amen. Now, I do know when it comes to the things of God, good judgment as far as some things are going to seem foolish to us in our flesh, that God still wants us to do that. But I also firmly believe God did not get rid of your common sense. Amen. God still gives you. Now there's times God, I know going to the Red Sea and open that up, I know that's not something, but that's God led. There's one thing of being spirit led, and there's another reason, another idea of being ambition led. You've got to make sure, my friend, that not only do you have trustworthiness and initiative, but make sure you have good judgment. Paul was the type of guy, yes, he lived in reality, but he also understood that there's things in life that God does supernaturally, but he was a man that had common sense, and God did use him. Number four is this, Paul spoke with authority. I don't see Paul getting up there on that stern of that boat and saying this and kind of saying, well, if you want to live, you know, it's up to you. Let me give you an option. A, you know this. B. No, Paul got up there and said, look, if you want to live, stay on the boat. Amen. Now, as a preacher, we are called to speak with authority. I'm not here tonight and say, look, if you want to serve Jesus, it's all right. If you don't want to serve... No, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you want to serve Jesus and make Him your everything, you can make heaven. But if you don't want to serve Jesus, there's damnation, there's destruction. You've got to have that authority. And us as a church and leadership has to do that as well. Not only that, but Paul strengthened others. Let me go through this. Not only that, Paul was optimistic. And not only that, Paul never compromised the absolutes. There's some things that are absolute and can never be compromised. But not only that, another leadership quality was this. Paul was a type man that focuses on the objectives and not the obstacles. Isn't that an amazing quality? Know what the objective is. Know what God wants you to do and not sit there and put so much emphasis on the obstacles. He knew what God wanted. Also, Paul's the type of guy that empowered by example. Now, there are 9 points there that I could preach to you tonight. I'm not going to do that. We are going to move forward into this message. Let's talk about tonight this. How this captain by the name of Paul, he became the captain. And how in the world, hear me today, my friend, how in the world, now that they were in a storm, now that we know that they were rejected good godly advice. Here they are. It doesn't change the fact now. They are in a storm. There is a life and death battle. And here it is. How can we see those survive the storm? Sometimes it's easy to say, well, so-and-so's in a storm. But let me ask you the question. We've got to be able to give them advice of not only are they in the storm, but how can they survive the storm? You know, people are in storms everywhere. And we can tell them that all day long. But also there's got to be somebody like Paul that says, look, I told you this was going to happen. But Paul was the type of man that said this, I told you it was going to happen, now listen how we can get out of it. Aren't you glad for hope? And hopelessness, in a world when hopelessness seems to be all around, thank God for hope here. Well, first thing I want to show you about Paul is this. Paul showed us something that's very special. How to be a captain, how to be somebody that leads others to survival in the storm. Hear me today, friend. Number one is this. Paul showed forth stability. Now, stability holds firm when everything else fails. Stability is something that no matter what else is going on around you, you have the ability that you can stand firm. Now, hear me today, friend. This is important. Everybody in this room today, if Paul was in the storm, just like everybody else was. How many believes America's kind of going through a storm? Do we believe that? The just and the unjust are going through the storm. Those that are saved and those that are unsaved are going through the storm. But there's a difference between those that are saved and those that are unsaved. We've got an anchor that is steadfast and sure. We have something that even though, hear me today, my friends, even though out there on this boat and on this ship, they could not see the moon, they could not see the stars, they could not see the sun, their sense of navigation was gone. Paul was at the bottom of this boat. He didn't need to see the stars. He didn't need to see the moon. He did not need to see the sun. He had a connection that was higher than the sun. He had a connection that was higher than the moon. He had a connection that was higher than the stars. That connection was to God Almighty. Here it is, my friend. If you're not careful, you can allow the storm to diminish your view and begin to let you lose connection with heaven. Now, can you just imagine with me for a moment? Just imagine. What if Paul was down in the bottom of that boat and he was saying, you know what? We deserve this. Sorry, scoundrels. If they had just listened to me, we wouldn't be in this mess, which is true. What if he had sat down there and got bitter, you know, got mad, and stomped his feet, and the prisoners looked at him, he's over there saying, I hope we all die. What if he was like that? Do you think he would have heard the voice of God? Let me tell you, my friend, if you're in a storm tonight, it does you no good to throw a pity party. I know some things are natural, believe me. I know if anything, the enemy tries and God's grace and mercy will help you stand and will strengthen the feeble knees and feet. God will help you, my friend. But hear me this, my friend, that Paul, if he sat down there, and if Paul was down there and throwing a temper tantrum, he would not have heard the voice of God. He would not have known what to do. So Paul was down here, my friend, and here it is. He was down there, and he was showing us a great picture of stability. It's easy to stay stable when everything's perfect. You know, out there on a hammock with a nice cup of lemonade, God's good. But what you going to do when you ain't got no lemonade and you got chains and fetters around your feet and there's no sunshine and you're at the bottom of the boat and all this stinks, it's bad, there's other prisoners? God's still good. You've got to understand. You've got to show stability no matter what you are facing. So here it is. Paul is at the bottom of the ship or somewhere on the ship, and he has a vision or an angel comes to him, as the Bible does tell us. And all of a sudden, we know the story that when not only did Paul show us stability, but how did Paul help these 275 men? How did he help them survive the storm? Number one, he did this. He shared God's word with them. He didn't take that promise from the Lord, just put it in his pocket and say, we're going to make it. No, Paul gets up there on the deck. And he lets them know. He says, look, y'all, I told you so. That feels good every now and then, don't it? I told you. But then not only does he say that, but he said, I also want to encourage you. How many knows the ministry encouragement is important? That's something I have seen kind of dwindle away in the holiness movement. Not everywhere, but parts. But there's very little encouraging going on. It's still good to send a brother or sister a card, give them a phone call, smile, come to church, shake hands, hope you make it, God bless you, love you, good to see you here, yeah, thank you, yeah, good singing, yeah, that's good. Encouragement is important, especially in a world that's trying to bring down. So here it is, Paul, not only, he comes to the deck of that ship there, he says, look, you know, I told you so, but guess what he tells them? I talked to the Lord and an angel came to me, and guess what? We're going to make it. I don't know if you'd have got happy or not, but I would have been like, we're going to make it? Isn't it good I can stand behind a pulpit, and even though I'm not saying I've seen an angel, but I have read the book. And I know storms do come, but guess what? We make it. Paul was saying, look, we're going to make it. Look, the boat may not be here. Now, the owner of the boat may not like that as much. But I can look at you today and say, look, we're going to make it. This church one day will be renovated with the Lord and fire and all that. But look, you'll make it if you serve the Lord. So understand, Paul tells them, I've talked to an angel. Look, and not only that, but I'm telling you, we're going to make it. We're going to survive. He had a special word. He encouraged them. How do we allow somebody to make it through the storms of life? They could be here tonight. I'll tell you what you do. You tell them, look, the Bible says you can make it. I've got a word, and you're going to make it. Everybody underneath the sound of my voice, guess what? If you stay in Jesus, you're going to make it. You say that's elementary. Well, the elementary sometimes builds the greatest hope. Because sometimes we need to be reminded we are going to make it. So understand this today, friend. Paul not only did that, he shared the word with them. The second thing that Paul did with them, he unified them. You know what the church needs in America in this great storm we're going through? We need to be unified. I've never understood churches fighting churches. Church wars is what they call them. I know there's a right and there's a wrong. I know there's a compromise way and I know there's a truth. But my Lord, in this church here, there should be no disunification. Amen. We're on the same page. I know we are. This is elementary. We know this. But Paul unified them. Now, I want you to get this in your minds tonight. Here it is. For 2 weeks, they've been out there on the sea. For 2 weeks, get that in your mind. For 2 whole weeks, they've been out there on the sea. Not only have they been on the sea, but they've been out there and they've been in a storm. And what they intended just to be a 40-mile journey, guess what? They're 500 miles pushed all the way out in the ocean. You have to look at that on a map to really appreciate it. They thought they were going to go 40 miles up the coast,
And next thing you know, instead of going up the coast, there are 500 miles across the ocean here. So 500 miles off course, and now they are adrift in a sea. And as the crew here, all of a sudden, the crew begins to take measurements of the water. And guess what the water's beginning to do? It's getting shallower and shallower. Isn't that a mess? Not only are you shipwrecked, but everything is closing in on you. And, you know, so shallow, that's good, that's land. No, you don't understand. What if you hit rocks? What if you fall off? What if you hit rocks and all of a sudden you're drowned and beat against the rocks here? So they begin to take measurements. And can you just picture the first time they take a measurement? And this is what it is when you break it down. I don't know how they did it exactly. I heard they sink something to the bottom or whatever it is. But the first time they took a measurement, it measured 120 feet. That's pretty deep. I don't know, 120 foot of water, I'd be more intimidated by that than almost anything. But then they measured it again, and it was 90 feet. So they begin to realize in their mind, it was indicating that land was near. From the roar of the waves, they could hear them maybe hitting the rocks. It appeared that the ship was heading for the rocks. So all of a sudden, the Bible says they saw out four different anchors there. And the anchors is the idea of trying to slow the ship down, that they do not crash into the rocks or into shallow ground. So they throw these anchors out. And the whole time they're throwing these anchors out, you have these other guys on the boat that are trying to do something else. There's a lifeboat on there. That's what we would call a lifeboat. And I just pictured these guys are out there saying, look, let's get out of here. These guys are crazy. Well, Paul said, well, I don't care what Paul said. He's a prisoner. So here it is. You have these guys trying to lower a boat off the ship. And all of a sudden, Paul walks over there to the centurion Roman officer. He taps him over on the shoulder and says, sir, Julius, you got some guys out here trying to get off the boat. And if they get off, we're all going to die. So, you know, I'm going to put that bug in your ear. And I just want to let you know, if he gets off the boat, we're dying. We're not going to make it. So Julius sends some men up there. They cut the ropes. The lifeboat falls down. Maybe they got a little trigger happy. I don't know. I maybe kept the boat myself. But anyhow, they wanted to make sure that nobody got off the boat. So what Paul was trying to do is this. He was saying, we've got to stay unified. Just because the storm is here doesn't mean you get off the boat or you get off the boat. But we've got to come together. We need each other. We've got to help each other. We've got to stand with each other. We all need to be unified, and we need to be together. Don't you think it's important that us as church members say, look, don't get off the boat? Isn't that important? Husbands, look at your wives, and just every now and then, even though they're serving the Lord, encourage them, say, stay on the boat with us. Look at your children, say, look, honey, I love you, but stay on the boat. We need each other, friends. We need each other to make it. We need to encourage each other. We need to stand with each other. Unification is glorious. It is wonderful. So the spiritual application is this. It is obvious that our tendency as humans, when the going gets tough, a lot of people think it's just easier just to cut and run. You ever met people that just are that way? They'd rather lock themselves away and be alone. Where God says, look, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Be together. We need to be unified together in this walk with the Lord. The third thing that he did was this. Paul not only gave them a word from heaven. Paul not only unified them, but Paul helped to renew their strength. And I want you to get this. I want you to put yourself in their shoes. For 2 weeks, they're out at sea in a storm. And for 2 weeks, they don't eat a bite of food. Phew. Think about this. When's the last time you went 2 weeks without putting anything in your mouth? Think about it. That's almost, I mean, it's scary, isn't it? So in 2 whole weeks, they're out here at sea. They're fighting. Not only are they out there at sea, but they're fighting a storm. They're out there on deck. They're exerting themselves. They're doing everything they can to keep that ship together. They're throwing over anchors. They're tying the ship together. They're trying to encourage each other. All of a sudden, the storm's there. It's 2 whole weeks, and they had nothing to eat. I'm telling you, friend, I bet they begin to get tired. I bet they begin to get worn down. They need a nourishment. They were working themselves to death. Why is it as Christians, when we go through a storm, we almost work ourselves to death? We exert ourselves more than ever. I'm telling you, friends, spiritually, hear me. When you're going through battles, when you're going through family situations, when you're going through anything that you ever face, I don't know what it hideous. When you're facing the storms of life, you've got to take time to get nourishment. You've got to read that Bible. You've got to come to church. You've got to call a brother or sister. You've got to pray. You've got to eat spiritually. Why is it that Christians at times will run themselves dry before they'll finally cry out for help? I'm telling you, friend, in the storms of life, you've got to be nourished and taken care of. Don't quit eating of God's Word just because you're going through something. Why is it that the first thing some people do is quit coming to church, and the last thing they want to do is come to church? You ever met somebody that they'll go through life, they'll make more mistakes, they'll make more blunders and all this, and finally, when there's a thread of hope, they'll say, Jesus. And God's grace is there to help you. But why wait until you're almost shipwrecked before you cry out for help? Why do we do that? We've got to make sure we are. So here it is. Paul is telling them. He's saying, look, you need to sit down. You need to eat food. You need to get your strength. Because look here, my friend. Because you've still got to swim to shore. Look, don't be fooled to think today, my friend. You still got a little ways to go. Amen? You ain't in heaven yet. You're not in the heavenly shores yet. So don't quit coming to church. Don't quit eating. Don't quit reading the Bible. Don't quit fasting. Don't quit talking to your brothers. Don't seclude yourself somewhere. Paul is letting these men know, look, there's still a journey ahead of us. You've got to renew your strength. You've got to let God help you. You've got to renew your strength. Don't quit eating spiritually. I don't know what we're going to face tomorrow, but I can tell you this, you're going to need your strength. We're going to need each other. We've got to make sure of this, my friend. Hear me. Not only did he renew their strength, but this is something else he did. He knew that they were going to need their strength. He knew they were going to need that. But not only that, he set a good example before them. You know what Paul did before they broke bread? The Bible says they prayed. Now, I just want you to picture this because I think it's beautiful when my mind begins to work. Can you imagine Paul, who was just recently in chains, maybe still has the bruises around his hands? Can you imagine Paul, the captive, the prisoner, is now Paul, the captain, and he's on the deck of a ship, and he's got a bunch of heathen sailors. He's got a bunch of Roman men that worship false gods, and he's got a bunch of criminals down there who Lord knows what. He's up there breaking bread, and all of them are praying and saying, thank you, Lord. As you read this and study it, this is probably some of the first times any of these men ever prayed. Isn't this beautiful? And it would have never happened unless there was a storm. Storms sometimes will open a door of opportunity to you to show others. Look, you're making it. You're still making it. Guess what? Thank you, Lord. Can you just imagine as that big, bad Roman centurion, as he's kneeling there, and Paul is saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As he's breaking bread, and he's saying, look, gather your strength. Let's thank the Lord for what's going on. Let's thank God for His grace and mercy. Thank God for us. Can you just imagine that in your mind? All because of a storm. Another thing Paul does is, basically, Paul rescues them. We know the story now is that they're setting sail. They know an island is shore, so they're trying to run this boat of their own up on some land so they can get to shore. So they finally wedge the boat up on some land where two seas meet. You can read it in the Bible. But the back of the boat, the waves begins to beat the back of the boat and it's coming to pieces. So all of a sudden, one of the Roman soldiers say something like this, kill all the prisoners. Whew. Wouldn't that be a mess? Because you would have to understand in Roman times that if you lost a prisoner, guess who would die? You would. If I was watching, if I was a Roman guard and somebody was a prisoner and they escaped, guess who else was going to die? I was going to die in their place. I was going to be the restitution for the crime that was made there. So understand that Julius the leader, he's pretty smart. He wanted to save Paul. So he said, look, no, if you can swim, go ahead and jump in the water. But I'm glad to know this because I found this encouraging. But he said, there's going to be pieces of wood. You'll read this. Broken pieces of wood. Can I say tonight, no matter how bad it gets, there's enough wood to go around. It may be little. You know, I don't know how big the pieces of wood were. But I just picture that piece of wood representing hope, faith. As they grab onto it, they can say, look, I can make it. As they're grabbing onto it, here it is. They jump overboard. They grab onto this wood here. They're going to make it to shore. And the Bible tells us 276 men, after being in a storm for 500 miles, in a Euroclodon, for 500 miles, blown out there, no way to see the sky. Isn't that just the grace of God? 276 souls. I want to tell you even here tonight, my friend, it is the will of God that everybody in this room make it. Everybody in this room, I can give you a word from the Lord, and without even being prophetic, I can tell you this, God wants you to make it. You say, what about the storm? Still, God will help you make it through the storm. That's not a problem with the Lord. But this is the problem. You've got to stay on the boat. You've got to stay on the boat. There's a few things we'll gather from this and we'll move on in our message. First of all, storms often come when we disobey the will of God. Can we establish that? And even in the story with Paul, he did not disobey the will of God, but somebody else disobeyed the will of God. Do you know sometimes in life you will go through a storm because of the disobedience of somebody else? The disobedience of a husband, the disobedience. You may be going through a storm, but understand, it may be because of the disobedience of even somebody else. Number two is this. Second point is this. Storms have a way of revealing your character. Is that not true? Did it not reveal those men that were trying to jump off the boat and get and save their own life? Didn't it reveal a lot about them? But did it not reveal a lot about the heart of Paul as well? Number three, we can establish this. Finally, thirdly is this. Even the worst storms cannot hinder the will of God. Even the worst storms. Paul was supposed to go to Rome. And guess what? Paul ended up in Rome eventually. It don't matter. Look, my friend, if you're saved tonight trying to do the will of God, I know that when you're going through a storm or going through a battle, it seems like right then at that time, you may not be able to make it. I'm telling you, if you're seeking to do the will of God, you will do the will of God. No matter how bad the storm gets, you can do it. And fourthly, we can come to this conclusion. Finally, storms can give us opportunities to serve others and bear witness to Jesus Christ. Paul here on the ship showed all these men how to trust the Lord. As my wife goes to the piano, I appreciate you listening. I hope you gathered something from this today between these two services. And there's one more thing I'd like to point out. Isn't it amazing how God will take something that looks like a tragedy? As I have your attention just for this last little few minutes. God took these men and blew them 500 miles across the ocean. And when you look on a map, there's a little tiny speck out there in the middle of that water. And that little tiny speck is called Melita, or y'all can say it how you want to. Melita. There you go, that one, Malta. Well, I don't know how to say it, but what I'm trying to say, all the way out there, 500 miles. And you know what? It was the will of God that they go there. I wrote this down this afternoon as I was meditating on this. I said the unexpected storm led to an unscheduled revival. The unexpected storm led to an unscheduled revival. Now, in the mind of Paul, he did not have on his calendar. Now, when I was an evangelist, I had a calendar. And I would write up there, I'm preaching next week, four places here. And I would look at the next week, I'm preaching for brother so-and-so in Kentucky, a week here. And I look out two Sundays here, a Wednesday here, a week here. I would have a calendar with scheduled revivals. But there's been a few times I've been a part of moves of God. It wasn't in my calendar book. I just picture Paul. He's wanting to go to Rome. But God's wanting Paul on the island of Melita. And there on the island of Melita, you have a heathen people that end up seeing the mighty works of God. All because of what? A storm. Did you see what I'm saying? There's sometimes that you'll go through a storm in life that you do not understand. You'll end up the shores of somewhere you do not really know why you're there or how you got in the situation. But you will see the mighty hand of God. I hope you understand that. It could be a door that God's opened for you and your family. You didn't understand why you faced something, but somebody's asking you, how did you make it through that? Can you picture Paul walking on the island of Melita, gathering sticks, and a viper bites his hand? The Bible said he shakes it off in the fire. The heathens looked at him and said, surely this man's a god.
They thought he'd have swollen up and dropped dead. Not only that, there's a man on that island who's, the leader of that island, has a bloody issue, some sort of disease. Paul goes there, prays for the man, and he is healed. But this would have never happened unless God blew that ship 500 miles off course and they saw a revival. If you would stand to your feet, trust you receive something from God's Word today, and just tonight during this altar call, I hope you understand the direction I'm going. Tonight, if you're going through a storm, please hear me. If you're going through a storm, just be honest with yourself. You know, it saves us a lot of trouble if we're just being honest with the Lord and with ourselves. If you're going through that mind battle, that storm, that conflict in your spirit, I want to tell you today, my friend, you can and you will make it if you stay on the boat. Number two, I want to tell you there is purpose in your storms. It's not just miscellaneous. Our God does not work like some miscellaneous, mindless person. God has reasons. He allows us to go through things. And could it be, let's talk to us as a church in America, could it be that we're going through this storm because God's blowing us all the way to an unscheduled revival that nobody's really... We talk about it, but we don't have it pinned in on our calendar. Could it be that God's preparing America through the storm we're going through right now for a mighty outpouring of His Spirit? Is that possible? I believe that. I believe God. Sometimes it takes your boat getting ripped to pieces. Sometimes it takes you getting in the water and trying to struggle for life before you find yourself laying on your back on the shores of Melita saying, "Thank you, Lord. I can make it." Sometimes it takes storms. Sometimes it takes storms. God's good. Amen. Find your place to pray tonight. Hope you receive something from God's Word. And just ask God to help you. If you're going through something, let God help you tonight. I appreciate you listening. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, my friend. Just find your place and pray.